following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Monday, September 25th. This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, this is your first time joining us. Somebody invited you in on whatever platform you may be watching or listening from. Let us know in the comment section below that you're new and where you guys are joining us from. We'd love to hear from you. And listen, before we get started tonight, don't forget to hit that like button. Please hit that share button, that subscribe, that little push notification. That's going to push our content out on these platforms so that we can get more visibility for that. And of course, if you've not downloaded our free app, it's available on Apple and Android devices. It's free. It is to be a blessing to you. It's how you can keep up with our ministry. Every headline, every podcast is going to be right there at your disposal. All you got to do is download the free app today and hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be ready to go. All right, so tonight I want to talk about the subject of, and we've kind of hit on this last week. If you listen to some of our segments, our podcast segments, we talked about how as the church begins to lose its influence, as the church begins to lose its power, as they become more divided, as the church becomes more divided, loses its power, loses its influence, Jesus said it like this: you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the earth. If you lose its salt, you begin, if the salt begins to lose its savor, rather, then it is good for nothing but to be thrown into the streets and be trodden under feet by men. Listen to me. The greatest fear that I have in this hour, that the church begins to lose its influence, its power, its ability to witness, its integrity. And guys, let me tell you why that's important. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to show you some headlines today, and I'm going to show you that the world is getting darker. The world is getting darker, but is the church getting brighter? Because we need the church to get brighter in this hour if we are going to be a city set upon a hill that is not to be hidden nor put under a bushel. I want to give you some, before we get into some headlines, what is there some key indicators that our society is declining? Is there key indicators that our society is declining? And what are those key indicators? Well, let's talk about that for a second. Number one is moral decay. One of the most prominent signs that our society is in decline, especially in the last days, is moral decay. When we experience, when we witness, when we see firsthand a gradual erosion of values and ethics that have long been the very core foundation of a just and harmonious society, when those things begin to erode, when the foundation begins to crumble, then this is going to spell disaster for any nation. So, of course, humanity's pursuit of materialism, self-gratification, all this stuff intensifies. It's going to accelerate when we begin to see the diminishing of compassion, the lack thereof of empathy, kindness. All this stuff begins to dwindle away. And when it begins to erode, you begin to see the rise of deception, violence, lawlessness, moral decay, moral decline. All that stuff is on the rise. This is happening. Number two, you will begin to see the family unit begin to disintegrate. Another major sign of societal decline is the disintegration of the family unit. Now, if you, again, you go back 40 years ago, 50 years ago, the family unit was the supportive bedrock of our society. But now we're in the last days. Divorce rates are skyrocketed even among professed Christians in the church. More and more children are growing up in broken homes, divided homes, fatherless. The family's importance as a source of moral guidance and emotional support is increasingly diminishing. And then I want to talk about this. Then we have this love of materialism. We touched on this at the beginning of this. Paul emphasized in the last days that men would be lovers of self and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So it's safe to say that this love of materialism and worldly possessions will become all-consuming. It will only increase. People, even in the church, will begin to prioritize wealth and status and possessions above everything else, even at the very expense of their relationships, their marriages, their families, their spirituality, and their own well-being. This unsustainable thirst and desire for more and more and more, it's called covetousness. This ultimately leads to corruption, greed, and unjust distribution of resources. In other words, let me give you what that means. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And depending on certain political affiliations and legislations that are passed, this will only increase and will only wax worse and worse and worse. Then we have the breakdown of trust in what we once trusted in, like the government, like institutions like the government, like the CDC, the World Health Organization. These organizations were once well-trusted. They were well-respected, but that's not the case anymore. We're seeing more and more of a breakdown in trust in institutions, governments, even among individuals. Suspicion, skepticism has now become the new normal. This is, again, the breeding ground for what they call conspiracy theorists. And again, it's not like we can blame people. I mean, all of these organizations that I named, do you know how many times they have flipped and flopped and retracted this and put out this and then retracted that and then went back on this and then went forward with this? Again, we don't know what to believe. You know how many things that's been exposed have been revealed? They said this was the way to go and then go left. And then they said, no, we're supposed to go right. And then they said, well, we were originally supposed to go left. We're going to implement this, but we shouldn't implement that. So again, what am I talking about? The breakdown of trust in our government and systems thereof. And again, as all this begins to break down, it becomes a breeding ground for the increase of violence and corruption. This is why in Luke 21, it said there will be distress of nations with perplexity leading up to the coming of the Lord. I mean, look around, guys. Look on the internet and you say, well, what's this got to do with the church? Because listen to me, friend, the church is falling into the same tidal wave as all of this that I just named. Listen, my messenger, my emails, all this has blown up this week. Did you see what this pastor said about so-and-so? Did you see so-and-so when he got on his Facebook page and exposed so-and-so? And this group is attacking that group. And this individual is exposing that individual. And it is an absolute just chaos on social media regarding these very well-renowned internet celebrities, internet pastors, these well-known evangelists and prophets and apostles. And it's just like back and forth, this group against that group, this pact against that pact, this pastor against that pastor, this apostle's exposing this false apostle, this prophet's exposing this false prophet. And it's left a just trail of destruction, division, strife, and discord all over the internet and social media. So as a result of this, we're losing focus of what the church is put here for. Okay? Matthew chapter 5 says that, again, we are the light of the world. We are a city set upon a hill. We have been called to teach and preach the unadulterated word of God, uncompromised in the face of darkness. Through the teaching and preaching of the fivefold ministry, we help individuals with equipping them with knowledge and wisdom to be able to allow them to discern what is right from wrong. The church is supposed to be a force for moral accountability. The church is supposed to be holding the standard Come on. We are to expose the unfruitful work of darkness. We are to expose lawlessness. We are to expose what the enemy is doing in these days and bring forth to light, bring forth the truth of God's kingdom. The church is supposed to be in this hour the moral compass calling society to repent and come to Christ. And we do this through biblical standards. The church, its responsibility is to uphold moral standards, uphold the moral values, all outlined in the 66 books of the Bible. Again, and I'm not saying the church is not supposed to make a differentiation between what is light, what is darkness, what is good, what is evil, what is true, and what is false. We absolutely do that. The Bible is filled with examples of that. The Apostle Paul talked about this. Peter talked about this. Jude talks about false prophets. The New Testament talks about there will be wolves, there will be goats, there will be chaff. There will be all these things will be in the midst of us. If we know the word of God and we're rooted and grounded in him, then these things will be exposed in this hour. So we're not talking about sweeping things under the rug or compromising. No, we're not talking about that. But what I am saying is, listen, if you don't get anything out of this first 14 minutes of this message, please get this, that if we get to a point where we lose our power, and I'm not talking about this, just the spiritual gifts. Yes, that's included. Yes, I'm talking about healing the sick, casting out devils, raising the dead, miracles, signs, wonders, all that. Yes, that's great. But I'm also talking about our witness. The world needs to see, come on, a resurrected you, a resurrected me, an individual that was once lost, but now is found, that was once blind, but now we see, an individual that says, it is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh is through the faith in the Son of God. The world is looking, they're desperately searching and looking for what is authentic, what is real, and we've got to give that to them. But if we exhaust and spend all of our time taking the sword and slicing each other with the sword, cutting each other with the sword, stabbing one another with the sword, piercing through one another with the sword, that's one problem. The secondary problem is we have now become Paul said in the last days that the church will have a form of godliness, but deny the very power thereof. So God has equipped the church to do not only the works of Jesus, but he said, greater works shall you do because because Jesus said, I go into the Father, and you have been commissioned to go forth and do the very things that I've commanded you to do. And I've empowered you to do that through the endowment of the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 2. Come on, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, unto Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we've got many factors working against us. And you say, well, why are you harping on this, brother? Because listen to me, in case you're living under a rock, I want to show you what's going on out there. Because some of you guys are real comfortable but in your four walls of your home, no internet, no watching television, you don't watch the news. I can't tell you how many people, they don't watch the news, they don't keep up with anything. So they have no clue what's going on. They don't understand how dark it's getting out there. That's why God has raised up our ministry to reveal to the body of Christ and to inform it and to equip it of the times and seasons which we're in. So if you don't mind, I'm going to take the next half of today's podcast, and we're going to go through some articles, and I'm going to prove to you and show to you that it is getting darker and darker out there. And I'm not talking about we're getting ready to go into the fall months of the year and we're getting ready to set our clocks back and it's no longer going to get dark at 9 p.m. Eastern or 8 p.m. Central, depending on whatever time zone you're in or whatever that looks like for you. And now it's going to get dark at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. That's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about it's getting darker out there, I'm talking about the climate. The spiritual climate is getting darker out there. And if it's getting darker out there, And if we're called to be the light of the world, we've got a problem here that we must assess. All right, here's an article I found. This is from Dean Dwyer. Dwyer, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. Here's what it's called. The destruction of Christian principles in society make it fertile ground for a Marxist revolution. Let me read that one more time. The destruction of Christian principles in society make it fertile ground for a Marxist revolution. In the article, the author uses Australia as an example. And I'm going to read this. I'm not going to read this whole article, but I'm going to give you an excerpt from it. And in Australia, we have a city called Melbourne. It is located in the state of Victoria. Melbourne is the capital city of Victoria, but is also becoming known as the heartland of radical leftists, intellectual activism, and neo-Marxism. But it was not always like this. The discovery of gold in the 1850s and 60s was the most significant event in the evolution of the state of Victoria, fueled by extravagant stories of wealth gain at the 1849 California gold rush. Gold fever hit Victoria. When 8 tons of Victorian gold arrived at London's port in April of 1852, the Times of London declared, quote, "This is California all over again, but it would appear California on a larger scale. In fact, between the years of 1850 and 1900, the gold fields of Benigno produced," and I probably slaughtered that, so forgive me if you're listening from Australia, "produced the most gold in the world, around $9 billion in today's money." Not surprisingly, this led to a period of extreme prosperity for Victoria and an influx of population growth and financial capital for Melbourne. As a result of this influx of wealth, the city was dubbed Marvelous Melbourne. But we fast forward to 2023 and all that has changed dramatically. Rather than Marvelous Melbourne, according to the author, quote, "The city should be called Marxist Melbourne, Victoria. Like so many other places throughout the world, it is succumbing to the agenda of radical leftists and their neo-Marxist worldview. In fact, Melbourne is a location for an annual pro-Marxist conference, this year held perhaps somewhat deliberately and rebelliously over the weekend, when Christians celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So he was equating this to what the world calls Easter, or what we call the Resurrection Day. Resurrection Day, Easter Day, this is what we're talking about here. "Like so many other locations, Marxism is gaining political ascendancy throughout Australia and is capturing the minds of the younger generation." Interesting. "Reporters attending the most recent conference indicated that most attendees were 35 years or younger." See, the enemy's got a strategy, guys. And the enemy knows that they have a prophecy that is over them in Joel chapter 2. God said, "In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And he talks about sons and daughters in the last days. So the enemy is working overdrive, and he's working through principalities. He's working through powers. He's working through influences. He's working through arts, entertainment, music, movie. He's doing all this he can to reach the young people of this generation. Why? So that he can manipulate them, so that he can deceive them, so that he can control them. In fact, during this Marxist conference, there was a session that was actually titled, quote, "Chip technology is a new imperialism." And again, that's absolutely terrifying. So again, this is a session that is pushing the acceptance of these implantable chips in our bodies as a way of life. Gee, that doesn't sound a lot like the Antichrist and his agenda, does it? So again, what the author is stressing here is, when you see the absence of Christ, the absence of the gospel, the absence of the witness of the church, the light of the church, the salt of the church, the influence of the church, and this is why I've said this so many times. I said it last week. The church of God, not the church of God denomination, the church of the living God. I should clarify that. The ecclesia, we are the restraining force in the earth right now. If the church was removed from the planet, my friends, you think it's dark now. You haven't seen nothing yet. And I believe that's the exact scenario that is painted in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I talked about that last week in one of our podcasts. But look at this story. A Halloween display. Yes, they're already being put up. It's not even October yet. But there's a Halloween display that has been put on display featuring the devil who is holding the head of Jesus that has been beheaded. Look at this. Quote, a Louisiana man is facing major backlash for his Halloween display where his neighbors are screaming that it is disrespectful. You think?
A controversial Halloween display is turning heads in Bucktown. With less than 50 days to Halloween, some neighbors are calling for it to be removed. Lily Cummings shows us what it looks like, and we do want to warn you, some might find these images offensive.
This is our church here.
Vic Miarana has been building this Halloween display by hand for a year.
These are our parishioners here.
Miarana says their Bucktown home turns heads every year, but this time...
So we have a little religious theme here.
It's also sparked controversy.
We wanted to make people scared, to make them a little uncomfortable. We have no interest of inciting violence, and we have no bias against the church. We're both raised Catholic.
But some Bucktown neighbors were shocked.
My two children that are in high school and Catholic school in the area told me, Mom, did you see what was around the corner? And I said, no.
The decorations depict a beheaded Jesus flanked by a nun and priest.
Now, again, guys, what do you think would be the outcome would be if this was the Prophet Muhammad hanging up there in this condition? With this same scenario, you think that people would just, you don't think that we would already hear about this by now? Some of y'all didn't even know this story until I'm sharing this with you. But this is unbelievable. It's always, have you ever noticed it's always an attack against Christianity? It's always an attack against Jesus, the Christians, the Holy Spirit, God, the Bible. The enemy always seems to target Christianity. Gee, it's so blatantly obvious, isn't it? But this is beyond, this is absolutely disgusting. And it's again, don't forget what we're talking about here. This is depicting as it gets darker out there, you're going to see more and more of this stuff, and it's going to be more acceptable.
Jesus's head is in the hands of Satan.
It's appalling.
In a word, it's blasphemy.
These Metairie residents say they want the decorations removed.
And I understand everybody has, I love freedom of speech. That's what we all here for. That's what makes this country great. But we have freedom of speech as well. And I feel like we needed to express our opinion as well.
Code enforcement visited the property on Monday. Parish President Cynthia Lee Sheng said in a statement to WWL-TV, quote, we are not aware of any local ordinances that specifically address this type of situation. However, this neighborhood display is clearly offensive and certainly not in the spirit of a family-friendly Jefferson Parish Halloween. The neighbor next door said he doesn't see any issue with the decorations.
Well, again, that's a sad commentary.
He goes way overboard on trying to make these displays. Everybody seems to like it, except a few people.
Miarana says they don't reflect...
Everybody seems to like it, but a few people.
...the family's personal or religious beliefs. It's just for fun. But some...
Listen, the truth is I've had enough of self-professed Christians going around and telling people year after year after year, every time Halloween rolls around, they make excuses for why they partake of darkness. They make excuses while they participate in darkness. And they will always say, it's just for fun. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't understand how light has any fellowship with darkness. How much more clear do you need with scripture? The Bible says you cannot partake of the cup of demons and the cup of the Lord. The Bible Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from every appearance of evil. Are you kidding me? But it's all for fun, Brother Ricky. Listen, I want to tell you how much fun I'm having with this. When I see any ministry, minister of any sort that I follow, that I associate with, if I see them celebrating this demonic, evil holiday, I will unfollow them. I will have no association with them. I've been doing this for years and years and years. There's many ministers out there that I have nothing to do with because they participate in this nonsense. Well, I'm unfollowing you. Goodbye. I don't care. Listen, we're going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the goats from the sheep. Come on, the good from the bad. It's time to stop playing this nonsense. You're playing with fire. Well, it's just for fun, Brother Ricky. I don't see anything wrong with it. And this is the same group that says it's just fun that are dealing with demonic oppression and strongholds, and they can't figure out why they can't get free from it. They can't get victory from it, and they can't get, come on, delivered out of it. It's probably because you've got a welcome mat laid out, and every single year you're out there participating in it. Well, Brother Ricky, we don't go out there and celebrate Halloween. We just bring it right into our church and call it trunk or treat. You are still participating in the unfruitful works of darkness. I know a church, I won't name it by name, but I know a church that did this nonsense in the sanctuary of the church. Kids came in, they came in from the community, dressed like witches, warlocks, and ghosts, and demons, and all kinds of nonsense, come in there with their pumpkin buckets ready to go into the church, into the holy of holies of the church, into the sanctuary where the people worship God, they seek God, they hear the word of God, and where the preacher is supposed to be standing up giving the word of God, and they're coming there to partake of the most holy, sacred day on the demonic calendar, the most influential day for witches, warlocks, the occult, and the list goes on. Yet we're going to invite it right into the church. And as long as we call it something else and not Halloween, God will turn a blind eye to it, and it's okay. Nonsense. Okay, if you're still with me and you didn't get upset and you didn't get offended and you didn't unfollow me, then we've got more to talk about tonight. How about this? A church in Dallas called the Cathedral of Hope invited multiple drag queens to celebrate and bless them. Yes, you heard me right. I didn't stutter. A church, a so-called church in Dallas called the Cathedral of Hope invited multiple drag queens to celebrate them and even go as far as to bless them. Here it is. Right here is a picture of it on your screen. Look at this. This is the church. This is where we're going as a church. This is where our influence is. This is where our priorities are. This is what we're going to bless today. According to the report, multiple activists protested outside a church in Dallas that was hosting a drag Sunday service to bless the local drag queens. Not to help the poor, not to help the needy, not to help the widows, not to help the orphans, but to bless the local drag queens of the community. The Cathedral of Hope, which is a quote unquote church that claims to be LGBTQ owned. That's a whole other. So now they have their own church here. In a video that I won't show here, there was a scantily clad group was seen dancing on a cross while one man depicted as Jesus was hanging from it. Again, more blasphemy. Right here, I'm going to show you this. During the service, church leaders, and I use that term lightly, led members in reciting a pledge that they will be, quote, allies to the drag community and recognize drag queens, quote, incredible contributions to our world. What? So they're going to bless the church, who is owned by the ABC community, is blessing drag queens, making a pledge to them for their incredible contributions to society. That, think about everything I just said there, friends. That's a lot to digest. I want you to hear me and hear me clearly. When the church loses her voice, when we no longer stand for righteousness, we no longer have a standard, when we have no morals anymore, when we're lukewarm, we're passive, we're complacent, we're powerless, we have no influence, we're no longer light, we're no longer salt, we are no longer a restraining force in our societies and our communities and our nation and in the world. And when we lose this, I'm telling you, the stories that we're showing you, this is going to be a walk in the park compared to a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, if the Lord tarries. And this may not do anything for you, but it does something for me as a father of an 8-year-old and a 15-year-old, because this is the world that we've got to raise our kids in and our grandchildren in. And this is why it's imperative for us as a generation to come on, raise our voices and pour out into the next generation, because this is what they're being met with. This is what we're dealing. This is what we're facing in this hour right now. Let me show you the new normal for high schools. For the second time, a Missouri school has crowned a male homecoming queen, who is a transgender student. Here's a picture. Again, for the second time, if you're listening to me by Apple, by Spotify, for the second time, a Missouri school, high school, has crowned a transgender male as homecoming queen. Oak Park High School in Kansas City, Missouri, recently named a male student homecoming queen after he beat 4 female competitors on his way to the crown. Imagine what the 4 girls feel like today. How would you feel? How would you like to be one of the 4 competitors that are female running for a queen crown and lose not once, but twice to this, in this high school, to lose to a male transgender? Imagine the self-esteem. Imagine what that must feel like for them. Then we shift gears and we go over to politics. Nashville just elected Tennessee's first openly transgender politician. In a historic election, a transgender woman won election to a seat on Nashville City Council, becoming the first openly transgender person to be voted into political office in the state of Tennessee.
Yet one woman is making history, not just in Metro, but statewide. Olivia Hill says she is the first openly trans woman elected to office in the entire state. Adam Mintzer spoke with at-large council member-elect Hill and also joins us with more details on what is, Adam, a historic win.
Mark, this comes as the trans community in Tennessee says like they feel like they're under attack. In the past year, the state legislature has passed a handful of bills seen as anti-trans, ranging from restricting minors' access to gender-affirming care to risking more than $1 billion in federal funds to prevent trans people from changing their gender on their driver's license. But Hill said that's not why she ran. She was born and raised in Nashville. She's a Navy veteran and an engineer who wants to improve Nashville's utilities and infrastructure.
People elected me because of who I am, because of my skill, not because that I'm trans. And so I have tried very hard to run this race on my ability to sit at the table and my ability to get work done. The fact that I'm trans is just a part of who I really am and not why I ran.
Hill won 12.9% of the vote for Metro Council at large. As you were saying, Mark, joining a group of majority women. I have more on Hill's background and policies on our website, WKRN.com.
Let's go over here to California, where the mayor, listen to this insanity, the mayor of California was seen being spanked with a paddle by a drag queen.
Today, the mayor of Burbank is firing back at conservative critics after a video of him getting spanked by a drag queen went viral. That video was widely distributed on several outlets, many of them falsely claiming there were children present at a city council meeting. Yesterday, Mayor Constantine Anthony addressed what happened and the fallout.
I attended a private adults-only event. There was some shenanigans, some silly stuff happened. It was all fun and games. There was a secret video that was made and then subsequently shared to a very prominent hate group that has now seen fit to inundate the four members here, the city staff, and many members of our community with some of the most vile hate speech I have ever seen.
Again, unbelievable. This is the mayor. Are you kidding me? The mayor of California. This is where we are in society right now. I'm not going to play the video, but you can see this is clearly there. There's the drag queen. There's the mayor. Got the paddle. They're paddling him. The video depicts Anthony bent over a table. People sat as a drag queen whacked him with a paddle. This is not the Babylon Bee, folks. This is reality of 2023. The video was posted to Instagram and it caught wind online after being reposted. Local press reported that the fundraiser was billed as being for ages 15 years of age and up, but that it was not suitable for children. Then over here in Minnesota, an art museum, listen to this insane headline, held a family-friendly demon summoning. Yes, you heard it right. An art museum in Minnesota held a family-friendly demon summoning. Now, again, all of our folks that celebrate Halloween, you ain't going to have any problem with this. You'd fit right in with this. But an art museum in Minneapolis offered an otherworldly weekend activity for families earlier this month. The Walker Art Center invited parents and children to participate in what the museum described as a totally free. Oh, it's free. Oh, well, let's go. Let's get our children. It's totally free. It was a collective and playful demon summoning session. This happened back in August 5th. Demons, quote, have a bad reputation. You know, and that bad reputation comes from those pesky Christians that always keep exposing them. Quote, but maybe we're just not very good at getting to know them. I mean, if we just get to know those demons, we would find out that they're not bad guys after all. This was an actual advertisement on the museum's website. And by the way, if you think I'm making this up, here it is, right here. This is the walkerart.org calendar, free first Saturday plant teachers, right here. At August free first Saturday, Brooklyn-based artist Tamar Eaton, I believe that's how pronounced, she or they will present Lilith, and that's the name of this demon, the empathetic demon. The performance is inspired by Lilith, which is an aerial spirit demon with origins in the Sumerian, Akkadian, and Judaic mythology. Families are invited to create a vessel to trap the demon that knows them best. Are you flipping kidding me? This is happening. This didn't happen in some dark alley, some house in the woods behind closed doors. This didn't happen in some demonic ritual or a cult in the woods. This happened in a public art center in Minnesota. This event was broken into two parts. First, visitors worked with Eaton to design a vessel for the demon that knows them best. Wow. This is worse than, this is just as bad as a Ouija board, if not worse. Literally inviting demons. For example, this includes, quote, the demon of overthinking or the demon of not trusting your gut. Again, try to diminish the severity of demonic activity. After constructing their vessels, guests were invited to watch Eaton perform a summoning ritual for a spirit named Lilith, the empathetic demon. So he's actually summoning demons. This is insane, guys. Insane. Let me read on. Lilith will come from the dark side of the moon to lead you in locating your feelings using ancient Babylonian techniques. Yeah, I bet he will. Because it's the same spirit that was around during the Babylonian Empire. Listen, demons don't die. They're eternal entities. And this is unbelievable. They're literally allowing open invitation for demons to come to these children's lives. And by the way, guys, if this sounds familiar to you, it is, because remember that new video game that was released called Diablo 4? Diablo means devil. And they put those billboards up. They put one in Melbourne. They put one up in New York. And it says, "Welcome to hell." Well, look, the demon that's portrayed there on that billboard, that is the same demon. It's Lilith. So again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the world is getting so dark that there is just open invitations for the devil to run wild on our children, on our families, on society. We're letting him in the church. We're letting him in every sector of society. And the devil is just, it's become a devil's playground, because the restraining force, which is supposed to be the church, is losing our power. We're losing our conviction. We're losing our standards. We're losing the very thing that God called us to do. Listen, it's getting so bad that when children are going into schools and they're identifying as all kinds of animals, identifying as cats, dogs, lions, elephants, serpents, whatever the case would be. And listen, we have professors, school professors, psychologists, these people in these positions are now saying that this is just part of a, quote, gender revolution. For example, a feminist medical school professor says that trans kids who are identifying as minotaurs are part of a gender revolution. What does that even mean? This same professor also made what some considered a fringe claim about gender ideology, including that kids can identify as gender hybrids, which include a mythology-inspired creature called a gender minotaur, and that kids can change their genders by season and have different identities depending on their location. Again, who's saying this? Not a blogger, not a podcaster, a executive and professor at a California hospital. In other words, this is just normal, Brother Ricky. It's all normal. If you see a person identifying as a minotaur, it's normal. Can't say anything about it because it's normal. Normal. Like school districts offering free shuttle rides to LGBTQ parades and encouraging their students to wear pride costumes. Apparently in Texas, one school district says this is perfectly fine. Last month, a school district in a liberal area of Texas wanted its students to attend a sexually charged alphabet parade so much that it is offering a free shuttle service to the students, staff, and their families to make the experience easier. Well, that's awfully nice of them, isn't it? It's so convenient. The Austin Pride hosted a city annual Pride Festival and parade. This year's theme was, quote, "Keep Austin Queered." Both of these Pride events were open to people of all ages, and children 6 and under get in free. Again, who brings their children to this stuff? Unbelievable. Probably the same people that took them to that museum in Minnesota. I'm just saying. The Austin Independent School District, according to The Blaze, was so anxious to help these young students attend that it offered free shuttle service to and from the parade. Staff, students, and their families were all invited to represent Austin ISD in the annual Austin Pride Parade. This was according to their website. Quote, "We are #AISD proud to celebrate our Alphabet Community Plus students, staff, and families, and to highlight our commitment to creating a safe, supportive, and inclusive environment for all. Unfortunately, those who arrived too late, they missed out on their t-shirts. Oh, and don't forget this story from Breitbart. Tax-funded Ohio group sponsors program to teach children how to be drag queens, because we have got to get that curriculum out there. Because we don't need to worry about that pesky math and their English skills and their writing skills and their and history. We definitely don't need them to worry about history. We have got to teach them how to be drag queens. An organization funded by Ohio taxpayers is sponsoring a tutorial program to teach children how to become drag queens. The Fairview Ohio Colors Plus Youth Center is offering monthly programs. Oh, isn't that nice? To teach children, your children, my children, not my children. My children don't go to public schools. But if you live in Ohio and your kids go to public school in Fairview, Ohio, they're offering monthly programs to teach your kids how to become drag queens. According to the report, the youth center is working in collaboration with Drag Queen Story Hour Cleveland to offer a Saturday event featuring a drag performer reading an age-appropriate book with positive themes for the ABC Community Plus youth, highlighting inclusivity, creativity, and love. According to the report, along with Story Hour, the center also hosts monthly drag tutorials by a local drag performer who teaches the fundamentals of drag makeup, costume, design, and performance. And here it is on Twitter, formerly known as Twitter, from the lives of TikTok. Here's a picture of it right here, so you'll know we are not blowing smoke and not making this story up. So guys, listen, I know it's like, here we go again. Brother Ricky's got to show us the gloom and the doom. Why can't you ever be happy? Why can't you ever preach the gospel? Listen, we are preaching the gospel. That's the problem. We preach the gospel, but nobody wants to hear the gospel. We preach the truth, but nobody wants to hear the truth. We separate the light from the darkness, but people love the darkness because the darkness doesn't expose their evil deeds, but the light does. And this is why people don't want to hear this. But we're bringing truth. We are bringing light. We are exposing the unfruitful works of darkness, even if it means hitting you between the eyes where you are. Going to your church, going to your community, and going to your family. Listen, if you are, instead of exposing unfruitful work of darkness, if you are partaking of the unfruitful works of darkness, the Bible makes it clear, repent. Repent, renounce, and get rid of it and go forward in Jesus' name. Stop playing with fire. Because the church is playing with fire, because we're in compromise, because we're in lukewarm living, because we are losing our power, we're losing our influence, because of this, we're losing our witness, and the results of this is that darkness is getting darker, evil, it is getting more evil. And guys, I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, this is great news, brother. It's prophetic. Yes, it is prophetic. Because the Bible says when the fullness of transgressions have been reached, the Antichrist will be fully revealed. But friends, I don't know how long we've got. We could have a week. We could have days. We could have months. We could have years. We could have decades until the Lord returns. But until he returns, until that trumpet is blown, that eastern sky is split, until he comes over the banister of heaven and calls his church home, we have got to live here. We've got to operate in this world. We have got to navigate through the darkness. And I challenge you today, don't give in, don't succumb to the darkness, but continue to walk in light, continue to walk in truth, and continue to be empowered by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name in these last days. Because the Bible says in Matthew 24, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. Please bookmark our site if you've not done it yet. Again, don't forget to download our free app. available on both Apple and Android devices. Hitting that push notification is going to help you be notified of every headline, every podcast when it is readily available. If this ministry is a source of information, blessing, equipping, encouraging on a week-to-week basis, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You can do that two different ways. It's easy to do. It's simple. You just go to the app. If you've got the app, go to the bottom where it says donate, or go to the main website right there on your screen. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, that's endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You could click on there where it says support the ministry or donate, and it's going to take you to electronic page, and you can give several different ways electronically there, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen, and you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, I want to thank you for coming on tonight on this 25th of September. We are going to sign off. We'll be right back here tomorrow night, Lord willing, on the 26th, on Tuesday, same time, same place, same channel, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.